How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
We need a Beam song, you know.
Give me the Beam boys, free my soul. I wanna get lost in your lightning and glow and drift away.
We could work on the lyrics. The first line I like, give me the Beam boys.
But see, you know what I like is I actually like the buildup. I like that's the chorus, but I like the I'm not a music person, but the thing that builds up into the chorus, the lyrics, I guess. And it's like everyone knows that song.
The first lyrics literally work perfect for it. Like you may not even have to change them.
Day after day, I'm more confused.
Yeah. I look through the light, through the pouring rain. Yeah. Okay, a lot of chaos and sack. You know, it's a game that I hate to lose.
Yeah. And yep. I'm feeling the strain.
Yeah.
Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your pick and roll and drift away. Give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your light and glow and drift away. Yes!
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, Morgan Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting for a good game for a while.
Yeah.
The Kings coming into this game had lost 6 of 7. And then the team coming into town had won 6 of 7. The team coming into town, number 2 in defensive rating. They get steals. They get deflections. They're long and athletic. Think about the length. Dylan Brooks at 6'7". Shengun 6'11". Jabari Smith 6'11". 6'8". Tari Eason 6'7". Amen Thompson. The Terror Twins? But the only terror that was happening tonight was on the floor in purple. The Sacramento Kings stepping up in a big way. They didn't back down to some John and some barking. In fact, they embraced it in a monster way. Malik and Monk. What did you say?
Malik Monk
with the ultimate injection into the Kings' offense. And they were rolling. 33 assists tonight, just 10 turnovers, and Sacramento stays composed. They work hard. They play fast. They play a spirited game and get a much-needed home win over a really good Houston Rockets team tonight, 120-111. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm so good. So good. Needed this for my soul, for mostly my soul. For myself, selfishly, I needed this. I think we all needed this. But, man, I felt really down today because I just didn't know what type of Kings team we were going to get going into this one.
Weird.
Why is that weird?
I was just funny because what I was telling you and Brendan Nunes and Tristy, like, before the game, what I say?
You say that before almost every game. Do you not?
That is not true at all. That's honestly.
Oh, no.
That's messed up. Okay. You're not going to give me any credit for what I was saying before the game.
What did you say?
I said, I think the Kings are going to win tonight. And I said, I think Kevin Huerter is going to hit 4 threes. Basketball mind is
locked
in right now.
Did you really say? You did say 4.
Yeah, he hit 3.
Yeah.
We're going to give Deucey a check. nailed it. Last time I had these feelings, it was a game in Minnesota. I felt it tonight. I just felt it tonight. And I was so, so impressed with the Kings' response in this one. I was eager for this game because I knew this was the truest of tests. Your back's against the wall. Everybody in town, all the fans are like, hey, fire Mike Brown, trade Keegan, burn it down, blow it up. I'm sure they hear that noise. And so you got to figure out how you're going to handle things. And yeah. When you got a Houston Rockets team that I think is one of the best teams in the West that is playing awesome basketball with physicality, with all the length and athleticism, all things that you have struggled with mightily in the past, I was like, we're going to learn a lot about them. And if they find a way to get the win, that's going to tell you a lot about this team and that they earned this game. They earned it tonight.
And it told me so much about them. Like, I felt like each quarter I learned something new about what this Kings team can be capable of. And it didn't feel like, oh, like this is just one game. I think what we're seeing with Malik in the starting lineup, with Mike Brown staggering the rotations to still have that injection of energy off the bench with someone even like Isaac Jones, but then Kevin Huerter if he is knocking down his shots, because we've seen him go up and down, but can he find a place where he's playing 25 minutes and having a game like this, you know, where he's still contributing? I think that's very doable for Kevin Huerter. And then Isaac Jones, I know we'll talk so much more about him, but he's been that other injection of energy, especially after moving Malik Monk to the starting line. So I guess my point is, it's like, sure, you're still going to have your flaws and your questions going forward, but it feels like there's more solutions after this win. And that's what I'm just really happy about.
And one win does not take away all the Kings' weaknesses that we've been talking about.
Nope.
For the last few weeks.
Nope.
Into before the season, preseason, into the offseason. But the reality is, I think we like to think that they are better than they've been playing. And tonight was a good example of this team coming together and playing, I think, the style they want to play, which is playing up tempo, knocking down shots. And I'm breaking news, that's a world of difference when your shooters, who you count on to make shots, hit from beyond the arc. Like Keegan Murray knocking down 3 of 5 from downtown tonight, Huerter knocking down 3 of 7 from downtown, Monk knocking down 4 of 8. That's massive because those guys were not hitting shots at all, really, through the first 20-plus games. So can you keep this going? I mean, it just opens up everything. The Kings' offense generated good looks. They have not been able to capitalize on them. And then, of course, they have their shortcomings defensively. But tonight, I felt like everything was dialed in. Shot making was there, the pace, the ball movement. And then defensively, the communication was so much better tonight.
And responding also, you know, there was that we saw at the end of the third, I think it was, where Reed Sheppard gets the ball, goes up for a layup, whatever. Kings get it out right away, push it up, De'Aaron to Malik, Malik at the buzzer, boom, three-pointer. My point to that is, like, sure, you don't want to be in those positions and allowing a team to have to end a quarter the right way, but you responded back with a made bucket, with a three-pointer. And that is just something we have not been seeing through this 20-plus games in this season consistently. So, yeah, to see that, and then, Deuce, I think that really did spark that type of energy that you're talking about on the defensive end with everyone locked in, engaged, talking with these long players, these strong players trying to come into the paint. They couldn't do as much as the Sacramento Kings in the paint. They only finished with 36 points in the paint.
On 18 of 43.
Yep.
Tremendous by Sacramento to play that type of defense with their points in the paint battle, which was plus 20 in favor in Sacramento's favor, 56 to 36. I'm going to start with Malik Monk, though, because I feel like what got lost in the loss to San Antonio was the fact that the Kings scored 125 points in that game, and they had not scored 125 points in a while. And we were all sitting here, like, talking about the 23 made threes by the Spurs, a lot of the bad stuff. But the Kings' offense was doing something that they really hadn't done a lot lately, and that was score the basketball. Tonight, 120 points on this Rockets team that allows 106 points per game.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, I think Malik has just come in right away, and having another guy out there, it honestly takes even more pressure off De'Aaron and more pressure off DeMar. I mean, they're really tough to guard when Malik Monk is breaking down the defense. He hits tough shots. The pick and roll game for him last year with Sabonis was one of the most efficient plays in basketball. Their connection is so strong. He has brought in so much. He's brought so much juice to this team off the bench. But for him to be in the starting lineup, it feels like the last two games, at least, the Kings offense looks like more of what we expected the Kings offense to look like.
Yeah. And, you know, starting, like you said, with Malik Monk having a lot to do with that. And I think he's capable of making so many tough passes, the way that he threads it through defenders at times. You know, we saw from his first year here when it felt chaotic and it was like, you got to clean that up. He's only gotten better at it every single year, you know, not only knowing his teammate and where they're going to be on the floor, but also just understanding how he needs to make that pass. And so his playmaking ability has been something truly tremendous. And tonight, the career high 12 assists for him with zero turnovers.
That's awesome.
Impressive. Yeah.
He also had 17 points, 5 of 10 shooting, 4 of 8 from downtown, but 12 assists, 0 turnovers in this game. And I think that was probably one of the biggest things we were thinking about before the game is, okay, you have to take care of the ball against Houston. Of course, we know how good their defense is, but they capitalize so well off any team's turnovers. And Sacramento took care of the ball in this game.
Yeah.
10 turnovers. That turned into just 9 points for the Houston Rockets. On the other side, Houston had 16 turnovers that turned into 22 points. And that's just huge. When the Kings can get stops, they can get deflections, and we saw many good defensive plays tonight, that's when the Kings are at their best in transition. So I thought overall it might have been, honestly, the Kings' most complete game of the season. Because even in that Minnesota game, they had that stinker of a third quarter that we were like, dude,
yeah,
come on. But this is probably the most complete performance they had overall from an offensive perspective, ball movement, shooting, and defense. And I loved everything about it.
I didn't feel like they had to, like, if they felt, I won't say completely in control, even when they weren't in control. Obviously, in the first half, they were even down one at the half. But in that second half, it really just felt like once they got things going to start the third, they just never looked back in the confidence and the way that they were putting the Houston Rockets on their heels and making them think twice and being like, oh, you gonna punk us? I don't think so. Like, this is our home court. I just felt all these different things within their confidence. And I think that had to do with their ball movement, with the way that they were talking on the defensive end, not having a whole bunch of silly turnovers, just the style of basketball, yeah. The standard that Mike Brown has set from the beginning of his time here in Sacramento. And they actually executed that against a good team tonight. I take a little step back and go, but why can't you do this every night?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's the key, right, is how can you do it consistently?
Sure.
And I mean, I think some of it too is we've all been pretty hard on this team because, like, the shooting's been bad.
Yeah.
The losses have piled up. The losses at home. Yeah, DeRozan missed 5 games, right? Like, Monk missed 7. Now we're seeing how important Monk is. Like, yeah. that has something to do with it. It's not an excuse. It's just like that didn't help matters in trying to build some type of chemistry with these new guys. The rotation's been out of whack. And, you know, to be honest, I don't think they figured out the rotation tonight. Mike only played 8 guys and Keon Ellis didn't play. We'll talk about that in a bit. They still have some things to figure out. And when I say they only played 8, they ended up playing more at the end. But for the most part,
yes,
8 guys.
Yeah,
it was an 8-man rotation tonight. I thought one key in the first quarter was I felt like they were locked in early defensively, and it wasn't perfect, but they were not making shots in that first quarter.
Yeah.
They scored 21 points. They were 9 of 25. They were 3 of 10 from 3, and they did not take a free throw. But defensively, Keegan Murray was awesome. And I know he's done that a lot this year, but mm-hmm. seeing him early, they put him on Dylan Brooks. I'm wondering if that was by design a little bit. They started him on Dylan Brooks, and I think in the past you'd see him maybe on Jalen Green, and he did defend him a bit tonight, but they started him on Brooks tonight, and I felt like that was the Kings' way of adjusting things. Like, we can't ask this guy to do everything, and let's allow him to help a little bit. He had a couple of nice defensive plays on Dylan Brooks early. Sabonis was switched out into Fred VanVleet. VanVleet got a step. Keegan came over and helped, forced a miss. And then he had Jalen Green go to the basket. He blocked it, forced a wedgie. I thought his energy early on defensively was fantastic. And putting him on someone that is not known to, like, kill you offensively, like Dylan Brooks, I like that adjustment.
Yeah. I think also being able to have size to help you out. You know, it's not going to be Malik Monk that is trying to come help you out when a big or big long guy, whoever, is going deep into the paint. It's going to be Keegan Murray who can obviously contest or rim protect a little bit. And then I feel like the Rockets didn't just get a whole bunch of those same type of threes that we saw by the San Antonio Spurs.
Because they communicate, and we watched some of the Spurs open looks they got. These were just breakdowns. And not that the Kings didn't have them tonight. There was a couple breakdowns where they played too far off a shooter. I think it was there's one play in the fourth, I believe. Isaac Jones was defending Alperen Şengün. Sabonis was back in the game, and there was like confusion on who's guarding who. Sabonis helped off a three-point shooter, Tari Eason. Mm-hmm. And Eason, I think, either buried a three. He got a clean look for a three. And I'm like,
And I'm saying there were still moments.
No, I'm just saying, for the most part, you're right.
Yeah.
Because they were up in the guys. They played physical. And, you know, I felt like the defensive mistakes they made against San Antonio were very correctable. It wasn't just like straight up getting beat. It was not understanding the game plan or not being locked into what they were trying to achieve, whether it was like helping off a shooter to give bullshit help to Wemby and not recovering, you know? And tonight, there was none of that.
There's
There's
just so much more communication, everyone on the same page.
Yep.
I mean, and you're playing a team in the Houston Rockets where everyone is usually all on the same page. And that comes with even the way that they score the basketball. There's not one player that has been averaging over 20 points per game on this team because they really do play like a team on both ends of the floor all season long, which has helped them see a lot of success. But I thought the Kings did a good job of playing that same kind of style when it came to the way that they were playing like a team.
So at the end of one, they were down 28-21. They did get back in the game. It took a little bit into the second quarter. It was 42-38 Houston at the 4:19 mark when shit started hitting the fan a little bit. Let's rewind too. Okay. I should rewind. The Rockets decided to go small in this game. Şengün didn't play a ton in that first half. He played just 13 minutes. You saw a little bit of Steven Adams, but then you saw the Rockets just go small. And there were a couple instances where Dylan Brooks was matched up with Sabonis. And this is when the game got interesting.
Oh, yes,
two were battling. Brooks picked up a foul, I think, at one point.
So he got him in the gut. And so the ref's like, I'm calling a foul. And then Dylan Brooks knocks the ball out of Sabonis' hands.
Which was great because what Dylan Brooks does... when he does that in Sacramento, is he gets the crowd engaged.
Yeah.
And after that, the crowd was all over Dylan Brooks.
All in.
For the rest of the game. Then the next play, after that foul, they get the ball to Sabonis again, matched up with Brooks, and the guy just went bully ball. He went straight bully ball on Brooks, scored it.
Brooks.
Boom.
Falls to the ground, flying, and it was just so fun to see Domas have that play and stayed under control enough where it wasn't going to be an offensive foul.
Yeah, and then you had a little bit of a back and forth, right? I think they call Fox on a foul on Jabari Smith. It was an interesting play because it looked like maybe an illegal screen on Smith, but Fox he was falling back and he grabs Smith, goes to the ground, and then there's a timeout on the play or whatever. And they went to go look at the three, right?
Okay.
To see if it was an and one.
Okay.
But during that, those guys start jawing. Brooks comes over and bumps De'Aaron Fox, and Fox just lets him have it. There's a whole bunch of jawing. We got technicals galore. And I'm like, okay, how are the Kings going to respond from this? And at first, they didn't respond well. A four-point lead ended up going into an 11-point lead. I think Brooks hit a three. VanVleet hit a three. Someone else hit a three. Sabonis had an offensive foul and a turnover, and it felt like, oh, shit. Is this the game unraveling? Mm-hmm. You know, they go down 11. How are the Kings going to respond? Dude, the end of the second quarter was so money for Sacramento. It's not often they finish a quarter well. They finished it really well at the end of the second quarter.
Yeah, and I mean, you brought it up in the beginning. Angry De'Aaron Fox. Mm. The way that he was just like going into, oh my God, the spin moves, getting into the paint. It's so nasty.
Yep.
It is so fun to watch. But you hear people go, why can't he be angry all the time? I think he has been playing with a different type of fire, but like you also have to get authentically pissed off, whether it's because you're losing, whether it's because someone named Dylan Brooks wants to be a dick, you know, like whatever it is, let it come and let De'Aaron just go off. And that's what was kind of happening there at the end of the second.
Yeah, a minute 26 to go. Sabonis picks up his third. You're, of course, annoyed in that moment. But then Fox comes down, hits a big three over Dylan Brooks. Then the next play, Fred VanVleet matched up with Fox. He's trying to get by Fox. He can't. The crowd starts to rise a little bit, right? Kings are making a push here. De'Aaron is just in his ass. Steal. What?
Pause.
Okay. The hesitation there. De'Aaron just absolutely rips him. Then you had the sequence there where DeMar, you know, the ball's moving around. DeMar's open for three. Mm-hmm. He passes it up at the end of the first half, drives, kicks to the corner, Keegan wide open, the three ball. And then all of a sudden, it's 55-54 at the half. The Kings made their final six shots of the second quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what? In the third quarter?
Oh, yeah. It continued.
They made their first nine shots. Mm-hmm. The Kings ended up making 15 consecutive shots from the end of the second quarter into that third quarter.
Not used to that.
Oh!
Not used to that. And I'm not acting like it's going to be that efficient every single time. But the fact that they were able to respond to that run by the Houston Rockets, and then play efficient basketball, even coming out of the half. Just well done by the Sacramento Kings.
Can we just thank the basketball gods for a second?
Sure.
Keegan Murray. You know, we all think, oh, Keegan needs to see a three go in.
Yeah.
I needed to see Keegan have a three go in.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
The people in Sacramento, all over the basketball universe, in Iowa, they're saying, we just needed to see it. Mm-hmm. And they saw it tonight. How big do you think that was for him to see some go in, especially from the corner?
Oh, I think it was huge. And you could tell, again, his body language was a little different from the start, right? Just the way that they were going in gave him even more confidence, but I felt like even going into a shot, he already had some confidence. And I think, you know, whenever everybody does get worried, and by the way, it's definitely validated throughout the beginning of this season for Keegan.
Yeah.
But like, I'm always worried about what he's thinking. If he ever gets down on himself like that, you know, after a game or whatever. And I think his mentality is like, I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'm good. Like, he has enough confidence in himself. Like, I'll figure it out.
Yesterday at practice, we were talking to him about it. And he's like, well, I did shoot 28% from three my freshman year of college. I've been through this before. And I even asked him about his confidence. I'm like, you know, I saw you in the Portland game. It looks like you lost your confidence.
Yeah.
And he's kind of pushing back on it a little bit.
Ooh.
Not in like a mean way.
No, I wish it was.
No.
That would have been so great.
You can't be mean to this.
Shut up, Deuce.
Deuce, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
If he said
that'd be hilarious. Keegan, by the way, tonight, 13 points. He had 6 rebounds. He had 3 blocks in this game. 3 blocks for Keegan Murray. The Kings had 8 blocks as a team. But yeah, I thought just seeing Keegan get some shots to fall. Third quarter, the run continued, as we mentioned. The Kings make their first 9 shots. They really kind of went to DeMar for a stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Got a couple of and-ones, got fouled. That was good to see. One of my favorite plays, the Kings playing good pick-and-roll defense. Oh, my God. I about fainted, right? Sabonis is staying with the guard. I think it was Jalen Green. He's near the under the hoop. Tries to force a pass to the corner. DeRozan reads it perfectly. Kings push. Keegan Murray, 3 ball. Bang, it's 67-61.
Another thing, you just mentioned DeMar DeRozan and some of his moments in that stretch, you know, when he was just getting his. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. Mike Bibby was up there with me and he was just like, God, I swear, it's just automatic. Like, how does he do it? And then he's like, it reminds me of Sam Cassell. And so then I started looking up, because, I mean, I obviously know Sam Cassell, but I'm like, well, let me see, like, what he's talking about with the shot and the blurriest videos from, you know, the 90s or whatever. And I'm just, like, watching highlights of Sam Cassell's mid-range shot. And I totally see what he's talking about. It's just automatic.
You know what's so funny you say that?
What?
DeMar DeRozan, in his book, talks about watching Sam Cassell as a kid. Well, and that's someone he learned from.
Where his release is.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. It makes sense. Yeah. I mean, like watching some of those highlights tonight, I was like, Mike, you're right. Like, I was like, oh my God. And he's like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Playing the NBA.
But going back to what DeMar was doing in those moments getting his, the other thing I wanted to mention really quick was when I felt like there was other moments he was pushing the ball off the floor. And he was being fast and playing with
Morgan,
pace.
Morgan, the last two games.
Yes.
Again, we say a lot. Don't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat.
You say
a lot. I also say, hey, let's not ignore good shit during bad games either. Because all of it kind of matters.
That's your quote. That's definitely the first one's not your quote. The second one.
They're both.
No, the first one you can't take credit for.
What was the second one again?
I don't even remember it. Something about good shit.
You know, it might have been like someone like Pat Riley said it. I think it was Pat Riley. Maybe it was Red Auerbach who said.
No, he didn't.
He said, can't ignore good shit bad games. It doesn't make sense to ignore it because it all matters. That's a quote from like one of those basketball guys for sure.
Got it.
Anyway, Morgan, DeMar's been doing that more. There's a misconception because the Kings pace is different this year, but it's like, yes, they played their best offensive game in transition against San Antonio of the season based on stats.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Tonight it was more of the same. I think Malik Monk helps out a lot, but I also think it's like DeMar's just getting more comfortable. There's a misconception that DeMar DeRozan just wants to like stop and walk the ball up. No, I think like he's down to like slow things down and go ISO, which he did a little bit in the third quarter, and it works. This is what I was talking about earlier in the season. I think the Kings can have a blend. I think there's good to have different styles because come playoff time, you know, the Kings can somehow turn around their season and get there.
Yeah.
The game's going to slow down at times. And the pace may be a little off. So having the ability to go, all right, we can get to DeMar here. He can go ahead and get this turnaround jumper and maybe get fouled like he does and get an and one or create something. That's a good thing to have. The Kings offense is not going to look good for most of the season when guys you expect to shoot well from three are shooting in the 20s from three-point land. That includes Malik, Keegan, Kevin Herter, Trey Lyles. You know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
And what do you know tonight? It looks a little better when guys make shots. What do you know? I mean, I'm not trying
no,
to.
No, it's.
Sometimes we overly complicate shit. And it's like, you know, so sometimes you have to do, you got to make shots.
Yeah.
You're open, make your shots.
And they're like, with some of the other losses here, the more recent losses, there was obviously like, okay, you have to make your shots if you're going to allow this team to shoot like that. But even in the Spurs game, I mean, they had beat the Spurs in every category. Second chance, points in the paint.
Yeah.
Like every single category. The only one was three. And then the only one was threes. And it's like, but, and they weren't making some other shots there, you know, toward the end or whatever. But you're exactly right. It just makes all of the difference, not only on the scoreboard, but truly, I think in the way that they play on both ends of the floor after making shots, right? Because it can be super deflating and tiring when you're not making anything.
Making shots against this team, that's a big deal.
Yep.
Generating good looks against this Rockets defense is a big deal. This is a really good team. They came into tonight 15-6, now 15-7. They were second in the West. They've been rolling in a major way. So you take this and you run with it and get ready for Memphis.
You run with it to Memphis, yeah.
There's a couple other plays I wanted to bring up here, Morgan. We're still in the third quarter.
Oh.
I love these games because then it's like, hey, let's go to the back and like let's reflect on every moment of every play of every minute of every quarter.
That's what he does.
Coach is 4:13 to go. This is kind of a big swing, I thought. It was interesting to see Udoka uses coach's challenge on a play that was clearly off Thompson. I'm like, that's a weird spot to use it.
Yeah.
It ends up being King's ball. But after that, let's talk about Isaac Jones. Man.
I am so happy. We got to talk to him after the game, too. He put on headsets. Just the most humble, sweet guy. And again, before we started talking to him, when we were watching him during the game, Mike goes, he's like, "What? Wait, where did he play again?" And I was like, "Oh, Washington State." He's like, "Oh my God, I remember when he was playing against Arizona. See? Like, he was just killer. He was killing everybody out there. They just gave him the ball the whole time." And I was like, "Dude, he's taken so many steps even from the California Classic to right now." And you look at another game where he is scoring, producing off the bench, being efficient, but not only that, running the effing floor in transition, getting rewarded. It's just been beautiful from Isaac Jones.
Isaac Jones was being defended by Steven Adams inside. Okay. Isaac Jones gave him about four pump fakes. One, two, three, four. I'm putting this basket over your head, dork. I was trying to rhyme. I didn't have it. But my point is, this guy looked like a vet in that moment. He's got big-ass Steven Adams on him.
Yeah.
Getting physical with him.
Yeah.
And he's patient. Doesn't panic. Pump fakes him. Hits the shot over him.
Didn't he get a block on him, too, or something?
Morgan. Did he have Isaac Jones tonight had two blocks.
Yeah, okay.
The guy had 12 points, 5 of 5 shooting. So he has that play. Then the next play, he's sprinting down the floor.
That's the one.
Okay. This was after having great defense on a Tari Eason drive,
mm-hmm.
forcing a miss. Then he sprints down the floor like a big man should. And you know what I do when a big man's running the floor?
What do you do?
I say, "We gotta let this big man eat. He's hungry. You feed him and he finishes." Those are the plays. And I think about Isaac Jones. This is a guy that the type of player that the Kings have lacked. I saw him play early in the season in the G League. I said on this very podcast, you may have not been listening because you were in your feelings about your team losing. But the people who did listen said, "Oh, I got to listen to my fellow basketball sicko Deuce Mason. Because he is telling me that Isaac gives you something you don't have."
Yeah,
6'8", a 7'3", wingspan, long, great verticality, can block some shots, good feel. And oh, by the way, great hands. He can go dunk on somebody's head. He gave them that tonight.
I love that you saw that too, because even I fought back a little bit because when the Kings were down and looking for answers and you're like, "Give Isaac Jones a chance." And I was like, "Deuce, we're getting to the Isaac Jones chat, you know, where we're like starting to just look for answers." But what is interesting about that conversation is that is what the answer needed to be, not necessarily Isaac Jones, but what was in front of you, because the options were nobody was being traded before this game, or, you know, they were just going to make a big splash. Like, what can you do with what you have? In looking down the bench and giving him the opportunities that, by the way, he deserved after he was killing it in some of these Stockton Kings, South Bay Laker games, you know, whatever, even shooting from beyond the arc as well. It was like, yeah, I mean, he deserves this opportunity. And then for him to actually capitalize on this opportunity in multiple games against some of the best big defenders in the game. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
And people might nitpick because, you know, he is a rookie. He's going to make mistakes out there. But I think he does enough good that outweighs maybe the fact that teams are not going to guard him. You know, I'll say this too. He hasn't hesitated to launch threes in the G League, and I'm not saying he needs to launch threes here. He's trying to play the right way. I get all that. But when teams are playing so off of him, and he's like looking around, "You know what, man? Go make a move to the basket. Launch a jumper. Like, you can shoot a free throw. You can shoot a mid-range shot. I'm fine with you taking it, because that's the next evolution of his game. But right now, just having a big that I think the Kings have lacked is just an explosive guy. I thought he only had like two rebounds tonight, but the ones he got, man, he just like snatched them out of the air. He just grabbed them, right? He changes shots. He runs the floor. He does the little thing. It's what you want from a big. He doesn't have to go out there and score 20. He just needs to go out there and play hard. And for those who don't know, I've told this story about him before, but I feel like we have to repeat this because this is another reason I think I just dig him. Out of high school, he didn't play basketball. He was working a 9-to-5 job, like loading stuff at a pipe manufacturing plant.
Yeah.
His buddy went to go play, try out for a junior college team. And apparently the coach is like, well, do you know anyone 6'8", 6'9"? And he goes, oh, I have a friend. And he brings Isaac Jones, who was overweight at the time. And the story I read is Isaac couldn't even dunk the ball because he was too big.
That's
right?
Wild.
And you know what he did? He lost like 60 pounds.
Ugh.
So he went the JUCO route. And then he ends up at Idaho, finishes at Washington State. Still not really being talked about as someone that's going to be on draft boards. He gets invited to the G League pre-draft camp. Not even the NBA draft combine, the G League version. And he plays well in scrimmages, well enough that then he got invited to the draft combine. He participated in those scrimmages. Those scrimmages mean everything for a young player who maybe is flying under the radar that teams are overlooking. He still didn't get drafted. He gets a two-way contract with the Sacramento Kings. But you know what he did? He's like, I'm going to run with this. I'm going to be in the gym in Sacramento all summer. I'm going to be working with the coaches. I'm going to work on my game. I'm going to keep working on my body. And here he is finding ways to, you know, have a nice impact off the bench. And I'm not acting like Isaac Jones is saving the Kings season, but when you're looking at filling out your roster, especially in this climate where it's really hard with the salary cap ramifications of the aprons, getting someone who's on an efficient salary, he's probably going to earn a guaranteed deal, is a good thing. He's coachable. He works hard. Shout out Isaac Jones.
Looking for that depth to contribute while you're also, you know, you feel like you've been losing bodies left and right. Now, Kevin Huerter was back tonight, obviously, and Trey Lyles is still out. But yeah, being able to have some of those bodies that Mike Brown feels confident in going to. And I know Keon Ellis, DMP, well, I mean, yeah, he didn't play.
Yeah. I don't like that personally. I mean, I think you have to play Keon Ellis. And I think sometimes...
Do you think he got punished from what he did last game?
I don't know. Yeah, he's been up and down a little bit. I still think here's the reality, though. I think, again, you have to live with some of the mistakes he makes out there, okay, and let him learn from it.
Yeah.
He's a young player. He goes out there and defends his ass off, and he's been able to hit threes this year, unlike most of your shooters. And I think you have to find a way to get him minutes. I'm not saying it's easy because, again, this team has so many guards on the team. But him getting a DNP CD, I'm like, man, you got to find a way to get him minutes. You have to find a way to keep him involved because he's important to this team. Hopefully this isn't just a one-game thing and you find a way. And it has to be because, again, you cannot just run with an eight-man rotation.
I mean, but then you say that and then you think about someone like Devin Carter, you know, that could, who knows if he will be back in the mix in February or reevaluate in February.
I did watch Devin today. I got there pretty early and he was on the court playing 3-on-3 with coaches.
Right.
So who knows where he's at, but, you know, maybe he's able to come back soon. But again, there's so many guards. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
But Keon, he needs to, when he's out there, just be decisive offensively, make the right plays.
Don't make those turnovers, yeah, those dumb turnovers.
Just be locked in, yeah, because I think he does so much good out there, especially defensively. I mean, he belongs in the rotation. He absolutely belongs in the rotation.
And why I think we're talking about this even after a win is because you see the importance, the value of being in the rotation to still build that same type of chemistry with who is being played out there. So then it's not just random when you're desperate and like, oh, now let's go to Keon. Because one, he can have the mentality, stay ready. I mean, that's what he always has. But it's just, it's better for him. It's better for the team if you still try and blend that a little bit more.
So we talked about Isaac Jones, what he was doing on those plays at the end of the quarter. That put the Kings up 15. They end up going into the fourth quarter up 96-84. It got a little interesting. Eason hits a three to cut it to 8 in the fourth quarter. Van Vliet hits a bucket, and all of a sudden it's a six-point game. The one play that really... Go to clean this up, guys.
Oh, what?
Sabonis was open for like an hour. A Rockets player is on the ground. He waits, throws it to DeMar, who has a turnover, and you're just like, so you just shoot it. Make a move to the basket. A Rockets player is down on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, don't be passing up shots. It was 103-94 at that time. But Sabonis, I thought, had some monster and ones tonight.
Dude.
Oh, my God, dude.
He ate.
And it was an interesting matchup because Ime Udoka elected to put Jabari Smith Jr. on him, put more athleticism on him. And Şengün was playing in help at times, which I actually think helped the Kings in some regard. But it was an interesting matchup for Sabonis. And he finished in this game with 27 points. Weird to only see him get 7 rebounds, but Houston's the best rebounding team in the league. They out-rebounded the Kings 53-34. Ooh. But Sabonis had 27 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, just 2 turnovers. He was 13 of 19 shooting in this game. But I thought those big moments of like getting a bucket, getting the crowd back,
getting
into
the and ones, the and ones that were happening.
Couldn't complete the one. He missed the free throws. But the one where he got the and one off the Herder missed three.
Yeah.
So he just fought for that rebound, got it back and finished. Let's go, big fella.
I'll take only 2 turnovers for him. And I said, you know, like, obviously you want to see that just keep cleaning up, whatever. But just where he's been at lately with his turnovers game by game, I didn't notice them as much for him, for the team. Obviously they finished with 10. So they just were focused and really cleaned that up.
A huge moment too is 108-99. Kevin Herter is called for a foul on a 3-pointer.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh God, come on. I see it and I go, there's no way. Overturn this. Mike Brown challenges it. It was successful. Kings get the ball back. Then at the 4:38 mark, one of my favorite moments of the game, Dylan Brooks on the drive. In transition, Keegan Murray takes the charge, points the other way. Dylan Brooks fouls out.
6.
Crowd boos. Amazing.
Everyone waves. They're waving at him. It was just fun.
How about the sequence, though? You had them. It was incredible. Fox, the touch pass to Monk.
Oh.
Monk's in the corner, a little hezzy, in and out, finds Sabonis.
My God.
Oh.
My God.
Dear God. And then the DeMar to Fox alley-oop jam. De'Aaron Fox, he was sprinting like, I got to get this. I got to get this. And DeMar finds him. Awesome moment.
You say he was sprinting. That was him jogging, actually. Both those were amazing. The Malik Monk pass to Domas. Mm. Just that, how that whole thing played out. You just feel everyone's...
Their chemistry.
Togetherness. Yes.
The Monk's a bonus chemistry.
It's beautiful.
Nasty.
It's like, I mean, the pass is like butter. It is just like smooth and perfect every single time how he cuts through people. And I'm just, there's times where I'm like, well, no. Oh, yep. Okay. It made it.
Yeah.
We're good. And it always allows, usually Sabonis, but whoever the player is, that type of pass always allows them to have an even more open look, an open lane. It just gives them a better opportunity with that type of pass.
And then we saw more drama in this game. Şengün and Udoka were tossed at the 152 mark. I got to be honest, I don't blame our guy, Ime Udoka, the former Kings legend who helped them come back from a 35-point deficit to win at the United Center in Chicago in, 2009 or 10?
Okay.
What a game that was. Anyway... Sabonis fouled the shit out of Şengün, like just bodied him, no whistle. They just let it go. The Rockets, in all fairness, were flopping all night, but Udoka lost his shit. No one from Rocket security was grabbing him. He got tossed, and he kept going at the official.
I was like, who's gonna? And then when you saw an assistant coach trying to step in front of him, I'm like, ooh, you're too small. You're not gonna hold him back. Security, where are you at? It just took them a hot second, but. They finally got him out of there. It was fun. That was so much fun because it just felt like, yes, it's over.
The Kings win this game 120-111. Can we shout out the basketball sickos who are up late with us on a Tuesday night?
You guys are
amazing. If you have not done it yet, please just hit the like button, hit the thumbs up. Make sure you're subscribed. All it does is help our channel grow so it pops up in people's feeds. It's pretty simple.
Hit
the thumbs up. We should have 500 thumbs up. It just helps us grow.
Yeah.
So please
thank you
for
all the support.
De'Aaron Fox, by the way, ends up with 22 points. He had 7 assists, 3 steals, 9-19 shooting, 4 of 6 from downtown. Kings were 14 of 30 from distance as a team, 46%. They end up shooting 51.6% from the field with 33 assists and 10 turnovers. One other note I looked up about De'Aaron Fox tonight, 6 deflections.
I forget where it was. I think it was toward the end when he just read a passing lane perfectly and just used his quickness. And the engagement, it just all was so beautiful so many different times defensively.
And I think it was good to see this Kings team play well against this Rockets team who absolutely destroyed them last
year.
I think they, G-Man was saying tonight that they won by an average of 17 points against Sacramento last year. The two games early on in Houston, they got trucked. No De'Aaron Fox in that game, but then Houston came to Sacramento and really put it on the Kings late in the year when Şengün got hurt in that game. But yeah, I mean, it was really good to see them respond against a team like this. De'Aaron Fox, by the way, was asked about the Rockets talking trash to him during the game. Here's what De'Aaron had to say.
Like you said, people don't usually do it to me for good reason. So I wasn't spoken to after that, though. So like I said, people don't talk shit to me all the time. So not much to say after that. Now you say something to me, come along for the ride.
Dude, angry Fox, dear God, I love it. Mike Brown was also talking about after the game that Fox spoke up in the locker room, like saying, this is how we have to play. We have to have this type of rotation. Ooh. We have to have this type of, yeah, dude, I might want you to find the Mike Brown clip. I was like, oh shit, okay. And Keegan said in the post game that Fox has been more vocal this year, just like being kind of aggressive with what he's saying.
That's cool.
Do you want? Let's hear a little bit of Micah Brown, if you don't mind. Morgan?
Playing together. Well, it was obvious tonight. I mean, we had 47 made field goals, and we had 33 assists on those 47 made field goals. We made the game easy for one another.
Damn right.
You know, we played for each other. We played together. We want to do that at the highest level, and tonight versus a very good team, we did do it. And then our third standard is competing. We want to compete, and that's offensively, that's defensively, that's in practice, that's during shooting games, and they're a good team. I take my hat off. I said it about M.A. before the game. Done a hell of a job with that group. They bring it every night. There's a level of physicality that they bring to the table, but also a level of competitiveness, and I thought our guys competed. And when shit got going and they got up in our face or something happened with us to them, we stood our ground like we're supposed to, but we did it smartly. And that's how you compete. You can compete without, you know, getting 3, 4, 5, 6 techs or getting thrown out the game. You can make sure your presence is known on both ends of the floor. And that's our third standard. I thought our guys did that at a very high level. Man, a hell of a game by everybody. They've been great in steals. We had 10 turnovers. We had 10 kick-aheads for 23 points. And I can go down the line of everybody that was really good for us, from Kevin off the bench on down. But Malik, you talk about, you know, having the ball in your hands for a lot of possessions during the course of the game. And to have 12 assists and 0 turnovers, especially against a team like that, is outstanding. That just shows what he's capable of day in and day out while trying to defend and playing extended minutes. So heck of a job by everybody on our team from top to bottom.
Of course, it doesn't get to the point that I was talking about where he talked about De'Aaron, but a lot of good stuff there from Mike Brown talking about this Kings Debbie. Yeah. Also, we talked about, again, Chippy and all the technicals. The Athletic is reporting something that happened after the game. According to Sam Amick and The Athletic, Tari Eason left the court, walked through the tunnel near the visitors' locker room. He heard a heckle from a nearby fan and threw his towel in response while yelling obscenities toward the fan. Eason then attempted to enter the stands, running up the ramp that leads to the lower concourse at Golden One Center and nearly reaching the fan section where nearby security officials were able to hold him back. Eason, who was held from behind by one official and from the front by another who jumped over a nearby railing to impede his path, relented after a few moments and headed for the locker room. So who knows what the fan said. Hopefully it wasn't, I mean... Fans don't say dumb shit, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, you're hot after a game, but good thing security got in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could have gotten ugly.
No. And you just, you never want anything to get physical. And so good job, security at Golden One Center.
Yeah. Yeah. And good job, like, saving that guy's, you know, saved Eason probably a suspension.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, that would have been really bad.
He could still get fined for something like this. But, like, at the same time, like you said, because you just, and well, and you just think about him and still just being this young player that is so good and still has so much in front of him, and you just don't want an incident like this to take him out of the path that he's going.
Someone said that video is on Instagram, but I'm trying to find it on somewhere else to see, because I would love to see what the hell happened. But yeah, I mean, it was just an emotional game, so, you know, shit happens, and I'm glad nothing super bad happened. All right, we got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We got to look at the Kings' next game. There's a couple other things we got to discuss, too. A Malik Monk trend, that is a really good thing. Look ahead to the Kings and Grizzlies and this road trip, because they got the Spurs coming up, too. We should mention tonight, Morgan Reagan, presented by our friends over at Turtle Beach.
Yes, Turtle Beach. So, first of all, you can go to their website and use code DMPOD for 10% off your entire order. But Turtle Beach has so much gaming equipment, and that's, like, really funny because it's not for me. I'm not a gamer, but I love these headsets, and I've actually connected them to my computer, which is why I don't have them connected to here, and I couldn't hear anything, and it was absolutely stunning. You actually game, though, and it has the little microphone thing for when you're yelling at people.
Warzone, I go like,
oh, what do you say?
UAV overhead.
Isn't that what they say in the game? Oh my God. Try it again.
Yeah, I get choked up thinking about it. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, their headsets are awesome. And if you head over to turtlebeach.com to grab your Gen 3 Stealth 700 headset.
Such a funny name.
It sounds like an intense name because it has such an intense sound. For a limited time only, head to turtlebeach.com and use code DMPOD for 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your order at turtlebeach.com with promo code DMPOD. Don't delay. Get the perfect gift now. Happy holidays from Turtle Beach.
Good job. First time read. I'm really proud of you.
Also presented today by our friends over at Mother.
Oh, you gotta love Mother Restaurant. It's just the best. And especially around the holidays, they always have new things and it will always make you feel good.
Yeah, they're 2319 K Street in Sacramento. You have to go check them out. The food is delicious. The drinks are great. The atmosphere is cool. It's in the heart of Sacramento, and it's run by people who, like, literally love the city like we all do. Amazing food. Check out their website out today, mothersacramento.com.
Oh, yeah, because you can order online.
Yeah, too. That's a huge perk. Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Morgan, Kings fans, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. If you scan that QR code on the screen, you can see their range of products and services to help you start your financial journey today. But that's not all, Morgan. Reagan, how about some perks?
Why do you have to say it like that? You can get up to 50% off home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at Kings games at the Kings team store. But also, it's like you saw someone tonight win like $3,000. You know, she's a member.
My little on-court contest. Yeah, got to participate.
She could have won six if she had just hit that one more three. Oh, but I know it was tough. But my point is, like, there's just so many perks. Just become a Golden One Credit Union member today and enjoy your financial journey.
We're also presented by our friends of our Northwest Exteriors. If you need new windows, there's no better place to go. They are based in Sacramento. They don't go subcontract out to someplace far away. No, they're in town. You can go check out their showroom. And what a deal they have right now, Morgan Reagan.
They sure do.
Offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Station. For each window purchase, the foundation supports veterans. That offer expires December 29th, 2024. They do windows. Make your home energy efficient. They do HVAC too. Install that thing, repair it, anything you want, tune it up. They've got it. So make sure to go to their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a lot of good candidates for player of the game today.
Ooh.
I had to make it a poll question.
Okay.
Who was the player of the game?
Ooh.
The options, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Domantas Sabonis, and DeMar DeRozan.
Someone I did see early on say, why wasn't Keegan a choice?
You can only have five choices. I guess four. I could have. Yeah, four. So sorry about that. We gave Keegan some love for his game. He was outstanding in this tonight. Defense, hustle, communicating, knocking down shots. He was great. DeMar DeRozan, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Also a steal on the block. Domantas Sabonis, 27 points. I talked about him. De'Aaron Fox with 22, 7, and 6. And Malik Monk with 17 points and 12 assists. The voting. And some people in the chat are saying, Isaac Jones. What about Isaac Jones as player of the game? He had 12 points. Shout out to Kevin Huerter tonight. We haven't even talked about him. I want to mention him. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Well, this is very interesting because I'm going to tell you who I thought the player of the game was in a second. Right now, the leader, De'Aaron Fox with 38% of the vote. Malik Monk, 35%. Sabonis, 22%. And DeMar with 4%. Who would yours be if you had a preference?
I guess I would go with Malik Monk.
That's who I went with.
Hey!
Malik Monk. I feel like he made this whole thing go tonight. And I think he's making everyone play the right style of basketball. He had 17 points in this game. He was 4 of 8 from downtown. He also had a career-high 12 assists, and he had 0 turnovers.
It's pretty impressive. And you just think about the injection, like you said, that he has truly added to this team. I think that's what has really brought me some joy in this win was like, okay, this wasn't just like a win.
Yep.
It was a really good win for many reasons. And him being in the starting lineup and having a really efficient game is just great to see.
Yeah. He is our Simply the Best player of the game presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. But yeah, I love what he brought. And I think the Kings now, since he's been in the starting lineup, 2 games, averaging 122.5 points per game.
Ooh, love to see it.
Yeah. Bring on the offense. Hell lean into it. So I just look at what he's provided, and obviously we talked about him a lot tonight. And he was really awesome. Another thing I want to bring up about Malik Monk, since he's returned, not just starting, but since he's returned, he is 22 of 45 from downtown, 48.8% from 3.
Ooh, I love it.
And he was in the 20s before.
Dude,
so
efficient, found his rhythm. I mean, it's just, it's what you want to see with this guy.
I'm looking forward to the next Kings-Rockets matchup, by the way. What were we going
to
say?
Well, you also need to touch on Kevin Huerter.
Okay, Kevin Huerter real fast. Oh, Kevin, thanks for buying into your role tonight. Come in, play the right way. And I felt like, I get it, maybe frustrated that he's not playing the same role, but when you come out there and you play fast, you knock down shots, and you're doing other things out there, that's great. Was he perfect defensively tonight? No, he's never going to be perfect defensively. But I like this version of Kevin Huerter, and I hope that he can do this. Because the fact that the Kings could play an 8-man rotation and get him to come off the bench and hit 13 points, he had 2 assists, 2 rebounds, and a block, and he had Isaac with 12 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 blocks. That's nice production from the 2 main guys off the bench.
Yeah, no. And just seeing him, like you said, knock down a couple of shots is and be in that role and execute in that role, contribute in that role. It's great for the Sacramento Kings, and it's great for him.
So now that the NBA Cup has all been settled in the NBA, we have some interesting matchups for sure. But that means the Kings are going to be adding 2 games to their schedule.
Okay.
Just so you know, the setup for the NBA in-season tournament. Oh, we just got an update, by the way.
Ooh.
We do know who the 2 games. The Kings have added 2 games, and we have an update here. This is being released by the NBA because you have to wait for the NBA Cup results to come out to know. If you're not in the Cup, you have to add 2 games. Sacramento, they will be going at New Orleans.
I just say, because I'm just traumatized, even if they are a bad team. I don't even care. Okay. I'm still traumatized.
It's like 4-17.
Why can't I just be traumatized?
Can I just go over the schedule?
Yes.
Sacramento's adding 2 games. They're going at New Orleans December 12th. And then the last game they're adding, the Denver Nuggets coming to Sacramento on December 16th, Monday, December 16th. Okay. And this is kind of good because I believe the way the Kings' schedule works out, they play these 2 games at home. And then they play Sunday against Utah.
Okay.
And then they don't play until Thursday?
Yeah.
The 12th.
Wait, let me see.
And then they don't play until Monday, the 16th. And then they don't play until the 19th. The Kings are going to have some space here.
Boom. Boom. Oh, wait. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. So
boom. Boom.
Yeah, Morgan, they play the Jazz on the 8th.
Yeah.
And then they don't play again until that Thursday 12. Against the 12th. Then they get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then play on the 16th. That Monday.
Yes.
So there you go.
I love it.
And I get it. You guys are traumatized, and I'm with you. Be traumatized, but just also understand this New Orleans team is not the New Orleans team of last
100%.
Year. 100%. Valanciunas isn't there. Najee Marshall, Zion's out. Ingram's out.
They've when you injuries lose galore. To a team with a jersey on, six times in one season, it's a little triggering.
We're just clapping that ass. Don't worry about
then
it.
Then clap the ass. Let's go.
Anyway, next up for the Sacramento Kings, they take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Those Memphis Grizzlies have been playing some good basketball. They did lose tonight against the Mavs, 121 to 116. But they're off to a really strong start.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be a surprise because they're healthy. But they're 14-8. Right now they're the 4 seed in the Western Conference. Coming into the game tonight, they were, I think, 5th in offense, 6th in defense. Tremendous balance. They seemingly have guys that can come off the bench and contribute. Scottie Pippen has been really big for them. Scottie Pippen Jr. How about the Sacramento product? Shout out Jalen Wells.
Hey, congrats.
Folsom High School, who won NBA Western Conference Rookie of the Month. Shout out to Sacramento's Jared McCain from the Sixers. Two Sacramento guys win NBA Rookie of the Month.
Love it. That's really cool.
From Sacramento.
It's really
cool.
Can
we give some love?
Give me a hell yeah.
Sacramento proud.
Yes. So anyway, the Grizzlies, 14-8. And I'm not really surprised by their play. Like, it was 2 years ago they were the number 2 seed. And Taylor Jenkins, man, he just, even last year when they had all those injuries, I think they had like 33 players on the roster at one point, they were still like a really good defensive team. He has a culture. They play the right way. Ja Morant, we know how talented he is. It's a good team you're playing coming up.
It is. I mean, obviously, when it comes to scoring, they're number 2 in scoring in the league. They're number 3 in assists. God,
yeah,
dang it. I had these numbers earlier. 6 in defense. You know, they play on both sides of the ball, right? And you just think about the Kings playing a good basketball team and what they need to do against a good basketball team. That's do everything perfect. That's taking care of the basketball. That's pushing the pace. That's playing your game. That's not allowing this team to dictate the way that you're going to play. Play your style. And even if they're going to keep playing theirs, just keep trying to slow it down.
And then the next night, second night of a back-to-back, the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
Lock in. Win both those games.
I mean, well, but and make your effing adjustments.
Yeah, the adjustment is like communicate.
Don't be in no man's land.
There should be no confusion about what you want to do against Victor.
Nope.
Or what you want to do with a three-point defense when you play the Spurs. Spurs, by the way, lost in Phoenix 104-93. They rallied to make it interesting, but it wasn't enough. Victor, of course, against them, 6 of 18, 15 points. Oh, my God. Do you want to throw up?
What?
The Spurs, a game after hitting 50% from 3, 23 of 46. Tonight in Phoenix, 8 of 44.
I mean,
really?
Phoenix's defense is just
8 of 44, 18%. You can't have that. You could have missed like two. You could have made like 18 threes against Sacramento.
Dude, even when Houston started like getting things going a few times, I was like, oh.
Victor was 1 of 9 from 3. Get that. Champagne kills us. 1 of 8 from 3. That's disgusting.
Vassell was at least 4 or 5.
Yeah, he hit half of their threes.
Yeah.
He was 4 of 5. The rest of the team was 4 of 39 or something. That's insane.
Yeah. So just like
I have high standards for the Friday game. I'm interested in how they play Thursday. It's a tough game, but it's a good test. Tonight was a good test. It was step one. You need to take care of business tonight. You did just that.
Yeah. That's definitely step one. And, you know, we said this after the Minnesota game. How can you build off this? And I think especially in this win, you saw so much good basketball that you believe that this good basketball can be played consistently night in and night out. They just need to figure out how they make that happen. And I think they can, but it's been worrisome and they are now in cleanup mode or whatever, however you want to call it, because of how many games they have lost early on in this season. And now you just put yourself in a position where you don't get a lot of room to screw up.
Nope. They're 10-12 right now. 10-12. They are just 1.5 games out of the 10th spot, and they are 3 games behind the Suns for the 6th spot.
And I still, my expectations even going into Memphis, like I don't just expect them to play like this because they've not shown me that they have been able to put a couple games like that together.
They haven't won back-to-back games since early November.
There we go.
I mean, it's been about a month since the Kings won 2 consecutive games. So yeah, I mean, I thought Minnesota could have been a turning point. It wasn't, no. Right? You lost the next 2 against Portland and San Antonio. So, you know, sometimes when I start coughing, I think like when I turn,
we can all hear you cough.
I understand, but I still turn on the mic. Like, maybe what are you going to let me have a cough attack before you utter anything?
What would you want me to say in that moment?
Oh, dude, so he's having a coughing attack. But yeah,
we can all hear it, bud.
So you just go, let's go silent.
No, because I know I've heard your cough for the past 3 weeks now, and it's usually about 1 or 2 coughs. Yeah. So I know you're going to come back. And sometimes it's kind of like when you take a sip of your water mid sentence. That's what you're basically doing. As he takes a sip.
Sometimes, Morgan, sometimes.
That was so Real Housewives of you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so coming up next, you've got the Grizzlies. Real fast, the Golden State Warriors have lost 5 in a row after tonight, losing to the Denver Nuggets. They were up 11 with like 6 to play. Golden State now 12-8. Lost 5 in a row. Buddy Hield not playing well.
Glad that they are starting to lose some. Just because it just seemed to me like really like Steph Curry can really be one guy that can help an entire team to have a successful season, even when they have the pieces that they do in the Western Conference, really. And we were starting to see that. Buddy Hield, red hot. Well, that's taking a dip. And some of the young guys that they needed to play better aren't playing to the standard that they need consistently. So, yeah, they're starting to lose some games. And I need to see it for my mental health.
In the game, Curry at 24 points, 8 of 23 shooting. Buddy Hield, who got off to an unbelievable start last 10 games, not really shooting well. He's shooting under 40% the last 10. He had 6 points for them. Here's my problem with Golden State at this point. Who else is creating and getting buckets other than Steph Curry? Who else is going to break down a defense and get them going? They rely so much on Steph to do his thing. They need the other players to be great. At the start of the season, Buddy Hield was unconscious with his shooting. I just don't believe that they have enough around Steph to be consistent. I think they're a team that's closer to 500 than a team that's, you know, got off to this really strong start. And
yeah.
They're dropping a little bit here, and they've had a tough schedule too.
Dropping back down.
Shout out to Overcommitter in the chat who let us know that the defensive player of the game tonight for Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox.
Hey.
3 steals, 6 deflections in this game for De'Aaron Fox.
Aww, I love that. Love seeing the team pick. Love the throne.
Yes.
Congrats to De'Aaron Fox.
Also, your Pelicans that you're stressing about, the Kings adding that to the schedule.
When you say that, you need to stop.
They have the second longest losing streak in the NBA. They have lost 9 in a row. They're 4-18. The only team that has a worse record right now, the Washington Wizards, who started the year 2-0.
Who went winless in November.
Morgan, they started the year 2-0.
Yeah.
They're 2-17.
Oh, so they literally have not won a game.
Okay, I lied. That's not right. My math is wrong. Damn it, dude. I caught myself.
Yeah, thank God.
Sorry. They did not start. They started 2-2.
Okay.
They suck.
2-2.
I just remember that. The only two wins they've had this year against the Hawks in back-to-back games. So, no, they started 2-2. So they were 500. They've lost 15 in a row. They're 2-17. I suck sometimes.
Good. But look at that score, the latest score. It was like 118-87 or something.
To the Cavs. Also, we talk about them. Can we talk about the Bucks for a second? You see what the Bucks have
did
been
not,
doing
no.
after an ugly start? Milwaukee's won 7 in a row. They were 4-9.
Wow.
They're 11-9 now, Morgan.
I knew they won a couple, but seven?
Yeah, well, they've won 9 of 10.
Jeez.
Does that give you hope, Kings fans? They were 4-9.
And they
Kings
looked,
were 9-12, but they look broken.
They looked broken. Yeah, I mean, sure, it's... I don't, that's the thing about this King squad is they don't look broken. Ever. Yeah. Like even in the bad times, they all look like they still like each other, all the different things. It was just so weird when we were seeing them collapse in so many different games and not figuring out a way to win. Like that's what a good team does. And I think that's what was getting frustrating. It's like, is this not a good team? They have so many things to be a good team, so why can't they be? I think
they're still really flawed. Yes. Right? It's been nice that they've turned it around, and they will be playing in the Emirates NBA Cup. The knockout round is all set after tonight. We mentioned the Kings adding games. They didn't make the knockout round this year. They made it last year when they lost to New Orleans. NBA Cup in the East, you got the Bucks and Orlando. Orlando lost tonight, but They had to win by less than 37 to get in. They did that. They were down by as many as 37, though. Shout out Orlando and Franz Wagner. This team lost Banchero, and you're thinking, well, here they go. Slip sliding away. He's going to be out. The guy's been playing incredible. They play awesome defense, and they've been a fun story in the NBA, despite the fact that that Banchero's been out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you got Bucks Magic, and then the other matchup in the East, the Knicks and the 11-11 Hawks. I kind of like the Hawks now.
Why?
Because I just watch them like they've got length everywhere. It's everything I want in Sacramento. Like Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson, DeAndre Hunter,
I get it.
I like it. But they're 11-11. And we know Trae Young has had some fun moments against the Knicks. So that's kind of a compelling matchup.
Uh-huh.
Then how about this? You get the Rockets taking on the Warriors.
Ooh,
that'll be fun. And chippy. This other fun matchup. Oklahoma City, Dallas. It's some good teams.
Oh, fun. Okay. Yeah. I dig it.
Any predictions on who you think will be in the championship of the NBA Cup? Who would you want to be there? Like, what would be best for the league and, in your mind? Best for fans. And then make your prediction.
Okay, let's go OKC from the West. And let's go... Well, I would probably go Knicks or Bucks.
You know, I'm going OKC Atlanta. That's what I predict is going to happen.
That's what...
Oh, yeah. Did you predict the Pacers were going to make it all the way to take on the Lakers last year in Vegas?
No, but I'm not I'm not rolling my eyes at the prediction. Just your love for wanting to watch the Atlanta Hawks so much right now. Okay.
The Knicks haven't completely figured things out. They could win that game, and I think they could beat Milwaukee or Orlando.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think OKC Dallas is super competitive. That's just going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah. I'm excited for these. They do. Yeah. They feel a little bigger, you know, in November or what year month? December.
It's December now.
Good.
The thing I am curious about, though, is like, what's the attendance going to be like once these games get to Vegas? You got the semifinals, right? And the championship game in Vegas spaced out a little bit. We went to the championship game last year in Vegas, Lakers Pacers, but like, you had LeBron in the mix, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron and Vegas is a heavy Lakers town. This is like December. Like, I don't know. Are fans traveling to go to Vegas to see their team potentially play last minute? It's a last minute thing. You do. I mean, I feel like Dallas is a draw because of Luka and Kyrie. Steph could be a draw if they made it, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Giannis. I don't know. Knicks fans travel. I'm curious to see what the reception's like.
Yeah. Hopefully it's good, though. I just want good energy.
I'm predicting OKC and Hawks and what I want to happen.
Oh, he has two predictions.
What I want to happen. You know what? Let's go OKC Orlando.
Be fun. I almost put Orlando in there because I just think they're fun, but I'm like, ooh.
Orlando Matt.
What would they look like against OKC?
How's that song go again?
I don't know.
You know the Orlando.
I know what song you're talking about, but...
That's a good one.
I know.
That's a good. They have a good gimmick. I like that.
Orlando Magic.
We need a Beam song, you know.
Give me the Beam Boy Supreme myself. I wanna just, get lost in your lightning and glow and drift away.
We could work on the lyrics. The first line I like, give me the Beam Boys.
But see, you know what I like is I actually like the buildup. I like that's the chorus, but I like I'm not a music person, but the thing that builds up into the chorus, the lyrics, I guess. And it's like, everyone knows that song.
The first lyrics literally work perfect for it. Like, you may not even have to change them.
Day after day, I'm more confused.
Yeah. I look through the light, through the pouring rain. Yeah. Okay. A lot of chaos and sack. You know, it's a game that I hate to lose.
Yeah. And I'm feeling the strain.
Yeah.
Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your pick and roll and drift away. Give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your light and glow and drift away.
Yes! We got it, Morgan. Just wait till we...
We didn't even... Okay. No. He's... I have to talk while he has a coffee.
Just wait. Just wait. When this...
blows up.
I think for vibes, I think we just set a good foundation here. Kings get a win. That song kind of makes you feel good.
Well, that song came on in the background of Mike Brown's press conference the night that Jay Crowder...
I know. And I immediately told Morgan, I'm like, dude, what if we did this?
And I was like, figure it out, dude. And now he's just forcing me to figure it out.
And by the way, not the Uncle Cracker version either. We're not going with the Uncle Cracker version of that song.
Who is this that sings it?
God. Is it Dobie Gray? Is that how you say it? Or Dobie Gray? I should know, but I don't. Sorry. That song is so much better than the Uncle Cracker version. No one listens to the Uncle Cracker version. All right. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Just really, really happy with a good basketball win, a good basketball game. That was fun. And perspective, because like I was really being like, I need some beam in my life. I need some fog. I'm just always going to appreciate it when it's here because you don't know how this season's going to go still.
Yeah. You did it against a really good team. Yeah. Did we give them enough love for what they've done this year? I mean, honestly, like Udoka has that team playing physical basketball. They have got length and size everywhere. You know, I know the shooting's not always there, but they find ways to make it tough on you. They got a really talented big in Şengün. I love the Terror Twins.
Yeah.
I do.
Same.
I mean,
same.
Thompson and Eason are a lot of fun. So that's why I appreciate this one tonight. You know, it's one of those that I think you talk to Kings fans before this, 99% would be like, they're not winning tonight. The 1%, Deuce Mason. Look, when I know the game, you know the game.
Also appreciate a lot of you in the chat, chatting up all throughout, you know, and just seeing to some of you trying to give us some lyrics. Adam says, no wine Tuesday. Great job. LOL. Didn't even need wine tonight.
Might need someone to edit this pod after the show, but we'll figure that out. In the chat, Lo says, really good win. Showed heart.
Yeah.
What do you think of this look? B-Stone says, give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to bask in your light and glow to end the day.
That's cute.
Look, we'll consider it. We appreciate people trying to, you know, be co-writers. You're trying to get that producer credit on the album. We'll talk about it.
On the but, album.
You know.
With our beautiful voices.
We do live shows. We got to have new songs, you know.
We got it like a year in between.
Something that I don't enough. I don't do enough. I should tell you, we still have our big extended Black Friday sale
yes.
going on right now. If you go to our website, deuceandmo.com, and you click on merch, you will see it all. I'll drop it in the YouTube chat as well. If you use promo code purple, you will save how many percent? How much?
20. You will save 20% still. So
that's a good deal.
So yeah. So make sure to go to deuceandmo.com, click on merch, and you'll get 20% off your entire order.
Shout out to the chat, by the way. I believe it's Jay donating $6.99. Monk finally a starter appreciation. Super Ooh. Chat. God bless Mike Brown for starting the best five. That Kentucky connection is real, like the Beam MFR.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yes.
Jacob. With the super chat saying, Isaac Jones.
Thank you,
fantastic
Jacob.
Tonight. Living Proof donates. I don't know what 200,000, it's not US dollars. If it was, we might take a break from the podcast for a while. But Living Proof, we appreciate the donation. Saying, Isaac Jones, exactly what we need. Big power forward, that hustle, long wingspan. He's a dog. Oleg donates $5. And Kevin Durant. Donates $2. Deuce, have you been working out? Buff MF-er. No, unfortunately, I've not been in the gym in 2 weeks now because I've been battling a cold, and it's been tough because I want to get in there and be a dog. I feel like I made so much progress in the last 6 weeks.
Hey,
and then this
you
happened,
got it.
But I'm going to get back and get jacked and clang.
Kevin Durant thinks you look strong, so there you go.
Thank you.
That's all that matters. Thanks for all the donations, too, you guys.
Yes, thank you so much. After the show, here's your duties. You must go to our comments and continue the conversation.
We are going to ask for more.
Yes, continue the conversation in the YouTube comments because that just helps our channel grow. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe. Rockets fans, do not spend the entire time in our comments talking about the refs tonight and you guys agree, blah, 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 blah. Just,
been there.
We've all been there, okay? Just, hey, how about you give the Kings a little love tonight, too? You're a good team. You got some good things coming.
Hell yeah.
Also, if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star review. That helps us grow as well. We will be back Thursday night after the Kings go to Grind City and take on the Grizzlies. We're here after every single game. We love you guys, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.